Now back to the Midday Grind with Martin and Marlo on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back to the Midday Grind, live from downtown St. Louis at Wave Taco. We're sitting under the deck here at Wave Taco enjoying what is a fabulous summer afternoon in July. I'm Jim Hewer, sitting in for Charlie Marlow and Martin Kilcoyne. Alongside with me is Matt Rocchio and also Brian Hoffman. Charlie Marlow back tomorrow in this chair, as you guys will be at Schnucks in Eureka. That'll be fun. Always, we talked a little bit about it, but it'll be good to get Charlie back in the chair. I know he loves those Schnucks remotes as well.
Yes, so, love Schnucks.
Awesome stuff coming up. And then also later on when we're done, we'll have the hard line here. I see Dave Rapp is studying immensely over there. He's going through all the news that everyone needs to know as they take over the hard line at 1 o'clock here from Wave Taco. Remember, they open up at 5 o'clock tonight. They've got all kinds of drinks for you. They've got plenty of water if you want to play some sand volleyball. Come on down. Bring a player with you, though. You got to have two people, as Edward told us. You got to have two to get involved in one of the games, or maybe you're already in one of the leagues down here. It's a pretty awesome little spot where just to the left of us is the dome. It feels weird calling it just the dome, by the way. They want to call it America Center. I want to call it the Edward Jones Dome. I want to call it the T.O. I just say dome. It just sounds horrible, but it's just dome. Maybe the dome's down there, which makes me think of, obviously, football and days gone by. NFL training camps are opening. And just one note here, with camps opening, one of the things I want to see with the NFL this year, the Raiders and John Gruden, and will they be successful? And the reason I bring up Gruden's name is he signed a 10-year deal, $100 million contract, and he's already talking, which you would expect him to. I mean, he was a great talker for Monday Night Football. He mentioned yesterday, if I don't win, I'm going to give my $100 million back.
Yeah, he's going to be giving some of that $100 million back.
You think so?
I do. I love John Gruden. He's been one of my favorite football guys for a very long time. But everything he did in the offseason, everything him and the Raiders did, made it seem like he was still coaching in 2002. I mean, he signed fullbacks. He signed blocking tight ends. He aged his team back 10 years, and I just don't see how he's going to be able to succeed by building such an old-school style team. I think his offense was once ahead of its time, but now his offense is fairly pedestrian when we talk about just how much you throw the ball and being wide open. I think it's fairly middle of the ground now, and so I just wonder how much has John Gruden changed his philosophy since the last time in 06 that he was actually a head coach. And mind you, again, wasn't that great of a head coach outside of 2002 and a couple of those years around it when he had a very good roster and, you know, Bill Callahan wasn't changing the play calls for some reason.
If healthy, he's got a good quarterback,
yes,
who I like. But you're right about what he did in the offseason. Derek Johnson, Jordy Nelson, I loved as a Packer, but his better days are behind him. And can he stay healthy? Doug Martin. Does he have anything left? We know how the shelf life of a running back is very short in this league. Can he go over there and make a difference? I don't know. But I just thought it was interesting that Gruden said, if I don't win, I'll get money back. He's not giving any money back, by the way. That's just
not.
That's just his way of saying, we're going to win or else. You like his confidence, but that's one of the teams I want to watch this year and see if they can make some hay. I expected them to last year. Injuries caught up with them, and they, you know, anytime your starting quarterback goes down in this league, you're probably going to end up not making the playoffs, and Raiders are trying to find their way and climb their way out of a hole. But as I looked at the dome here, it reminded me of days gone by, and I'll be honest, guys, as much as I have, and most people listening now have a distaste for the Rams and what took place, I still miss football right now with the training camp opening. I miss, who are we looking forward to follow this fall down at the dome? I still miss that. I'm guessing, Brian, by your reaction, you're going, not really.
My interest in football was waning before.
That wasn't Brian's.
In the NFL, it was waning before they left.
Uh-huh.
And when they did, like, it wasn't a conscious decision that, like, I'm done. But when it started again, I had a lot of apathy. And mm-hmm. it's continued. I just whatever, I'll do something else on a Sunday afternoon. I love college football.
Okay.
I don't have a team I specifically root for, but I'll watch that all day. But I've enjoyed having my Sundays back since the Rams have left.
Brian says that how that apathy settled in, he's almost happy about it.
Yes.
Me, on the other hand, that apathy settled in, and it's been one of the most aggravating things in my recent lifetime. Like, the apathy set in, and I'm bothered by it. Like, I want to care about football, but and I don't want the fact that some old dude wanted to make more money, and so therefore I lost the love of the sport that I used to be obsessed with. But that's what happened. I do not care about football, and I'm somebody who used to spend hours writing 7-round mock drafts every April. And, I didn't do a single mock draft this past April. And, that sounds like a very pedestrian thing. Like, Brian Hoffman's like, yes, that's exactly how your spring should go, you lunatic.
Right.
But it used to be very different. And so that apathy settled in hardcore for me. And it's starting to trickle back in there, but it's still nowhere close to what it was.
The best part for me from my job perspective of the Rams leaving is that I no longer have to care about the draft. And, even the regular season, I don't think I watched a single full game last year until the playoffs.
I had to learn, no.
From beginning to end. I used to be, 12 until 10 o'clock watching it nonstop. Now it's just, what else you want to do? You want to go out, go to get a drink, go to a park, hang out somewhere else, anything else? Or watch a movie?
For me, it's different. I had to learn what BABIP was because I no longer wanted to talk about I no longer wanted to talk about, the free agency signings for the Raiders in the middle of July like we're doing right now. This used to really excite me, and now it doesn't. So now I'm sitting here all right, I have to figure out all these analytics stuff about baseball that I haven't been reading for the last 5 years because I've been obsessed with football. I'm apathetic about it. I'm getting back into it a little bit. I feel like now that the kind of the trauma of losing the Rams is going away, but it's nowhere near what it used to be. And I don't know. This time, it shocks me now looking back on it. There was times where I was excited about football in the NFL. And the littlest training camp news in late July this would get me going, and I'd be able to talk about it. And now it just kind of falls a little bit flat. 3 years ago, you would have gotten 30 minutes out of me on Andrew Luck finally throwing the ball again at training camp. That's a huge deal when you look at the grand scheme of the NFL and the fact that one of the best players in the entire league has been unable to touch the field, partially because it looks like incompetence from his team. That should be a really big talking point, and that's literally the extent I want to mention about it.
For me, keep in mind, I'm old enough to have lost two teams here.
Yeah, I was
going to
say,
now.
Man, I can only imagine.
When the Cardinals left, I looked at it. Now, Bidwell was as much hated then as a Kroenke was at the time.
But you look at it now, and you see him.
Right, you
like
think
you
differently.
Have gotten any
right,
of that.
You think differently. But at the time, it was like, oh, I hate Bidwell. He's a bum. He wasn't a great owner. Da 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 da.
Didn't want to put money into the team. He was a cheapskate.
When the team left, they weren't great. Okay, much like when the Rams left, they weren't great, and there weren't a lot of really really good years that I remember. I was really young during the 70s, but I knew the team was good. I was just too young to appreciate that. I was excited at the time because I knew I could get three games a weekend on Sunday. Mm. I would get whether one network would have one game and the other network would
benefit.
Have a double. And I was like, man, I'm going to get three games every week. Because there were lots of times you wouldn't get that because the Cardinals would not sell out at Busch Stadium. Now, with the Rams leaving, you can get games wherever you want. If you want Sunday ticket, you're fine. The only thing I'm missing – being able to cover and root for a local team, that is affecting me. I'm not big picture, like you said, Andrew Luck. I'm like, I don't really care. I'm not a Colts fan.
But it's weird how
but
even
you're
having
right.
a local team, that story would have been
– it would have been a bigger
it
picture.
It would have felt more relevant just because there was a team here locally.
So I still miss rooting for the local team, and I know a lot of people are going to not like me. I still have a soft spot for the Rams. I'm a big Gurley fan. I will enjoy watching him run. The ownership? No, I don't have any love for that group at all. But I'm still going to maybe root for the Rams, and we'll see what happens. It is 12:52 here. We're live from Wave Taco. I'm Jim Hewer. It's 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. It is the midday grind. That means it's time for the end of the day.
The end of the day.
Okay, when's the end of the day?
At the end of the day, it's going to be tough to tell someone they might not be in it.
At the end of the day, even though there's moments where you're like, I don't want to do this.
You know how they say the grass isn't always greener on the other side?
I've heard that once or twice.
A little down in the Cardinals. They've been treading water for a few weeks now, just above 500. I believe they're losing now as we speak in Cincinnati.
2-1 in the bottom of the fourth.
Maybe it's, some places have it worse to a degree. And I just want to throw two teams out there. Now, one team is playing well now, but you have to pick a new team. I'm going to give you two options.
Oh, you got to pick a new team.
You can either be a Met fan.
Ooh.
They're a mess.
Yes.
Grom can't get wins. They're thinking about trading him. Cespedes is on the DL, getting surgery. May not return until next July at the earliest.
That's really bad.
He's one of your key cogs to your offense. Your season has plummeted. You're only a half game better than the Marlins, who made it clear from the start of the season that winning is not a priority. Or go to the AL. You could be a Mariners fan, who despite all statistical logic are 19 games above 500. They are starting to trend a little down a little bit. Suddenly only a game and a half up on the Oakland Athletics. And as a Mariners fan, you're trying to watch October baseball for the first time since 2001.
Wow.
Who are you picking?
I think this says a lot about who I am, that if I was a Mariners fan right now, I'd be doing what I was doing during the Cardinals' 100-win season a few years ago, where I'd be like, this isn't real, guys. This isn't real. I wouldn't be enjoying it nearly as much as I should be. So I'm just going to go ahead and just wallow in the fact that I know we suck. And I'm going to go with I'm going to live down in Florida and be a Marlins fan, because at least
no,
I get
Mets.
The weather.
Mets.
You mentioned Marlins there. I'll take the Mets, because, hey, you know, at least we have, you know, a 16-game win streak at one point in the season, and then everything falls apart. But, hey, we had May.
If it starts today, I'm a Mariners fan.
Okay.
If you take away all the bad stuff that happened before, because then I can be a Marco Gonzalez fan.
That's fair. The Oakland Athletics, by the way, coming back from a 10-2 deficit, won 13-10, have won 25 of their last 32 games. Steven Piscotty is slugging. I had it. I got it back. 689 the month of July, has an OPS over 1,000, putting 7 home runs for the Oakland Athletics this month.
Did you walk off last night?
Not walk off, hit the game-tying
home
run,
that was,
I believe,
it, okay.
in Texas. So that's the Athletics, again, kind of a weird mishmash of players.
Time for a new Moneyball movie, right?
Yeah, because this is seemingly a little...
Will this one talk about pitching?
This is more improbable.
Probably
because
not.
There aren't the big names there. There's not a Miguel
right.
Tejada. There's not a Zito or a Hudson or a Mulder. It's just a bunch of guys seemingly putting together a very weird stretch.
I'm a Piscotty fan. Obviously, we all know the personal stuff, but I still think he got a little bit of a raw deal here. Dealing with that personal stuff, I thought he would get something straightened out. Right now, he's proven that to be the case. So I'm a Piscotty fan.
All right. We know we were mentioning young pitchers and, you know, what they do the rest of the way. Ponce de Leon now in AAA. Who gets more innings the rest of the way? Daniel Ponce de Leon or Cecil and Holland combined?
I'm going Ponce de Leon.
Okay. Is that because you feel that way or because you want it to be that way?
I want it that way, but I also feel it's – I really think it's going to be – the other two, the way they are blowing up, they're going to be lucky to get 13 innings between them for the next 2 months, I think, because they're just – they can't even get out of an inning. And Ponce de Leon could do that in 2 starts. I think he'll get 2 starts at least.
I want to be positive, but I have no faith that this organization has a plan even out of this season. And so I think that the natural thing is play the young guys, let the pitchers eat. Let's see if they can get some more trade value. Let's see if we can get some good players next year. But no, I don't have any confidence that they're actually going to buckle down and play these young pitchers. I think they're going to keep sticking with veterans, and that's partially why I think the Schilt's just not that much of a difference from Matheny.
That's the end of the day.
That will wrap it up for us here today. Don't forget, the Hardline comes your way next. I see Cam Jansen here. I see Dave Rapp here. They are here at Wave Taco until 3 o'clock. Don't forget, Midday Grind, back at it tomorrow, noon to 1. Charlie Marlowe back in the seat, and you guys will be at the Eureka Schnooks.
Can't wait.
Looking forward to that. That's the end of the day. Thanks to
Love
Matt Rocchio, Brian Hoffman, David Sullivan back in the studios. I'm Jim Hewer. Hardline coming up next. Thank you, Dave.